This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Hello, Brasol. Good evening. How are you, sir?
Great, and how are you, my brother?
Good.
And hello to all the listeners.
It's beautiful stuff. So you brought along a guest today. Just give us a sense of why and who is our guest tonight, Brasol.
Okay. Tonight, I just wanted to clarify that we are not necessarily deviating from our format.
Yeah.
Where we bring a disabled person to speak for us. Our slogan usually is nothing about us without us as disabled people.
Mm.
But I thought today perhaps we need to bring in someone who is a specialist who can come and talk to us about mental disabilities.
Mm.
And I thought then we can bring Professor Solirata Imani from the Sefako Makato Health Sciences University, formerly MEDUNSA.
Mm.
You know, I met Professor Rata Imani some years ago when I was in Italy as a South African diplomat.
Mm.
He was coming to address a conference there. And in fact, since then, I learned that almost every second week, he travels abroad to go and address psychiatric conferences.
Mm.
And since then, we became very close. And after coming back home, when I fell sick and he heard that I was in hospital, he religiously visited me in hospital almost every second week. Who will come to visit me. And he became someone that I relied on, and he inspires me so much. And to a large extent, I managed to survive mainly because of the support from Professor Rata Imani. And he continues to inspire me even today. In fact, I'll even make an announcement, even though it has been a secret up to so far, that it was through his support and inspiration that I registered this year for a Doctor of Business Administration degree.
Wow.
And
wow.
To a large extent, yeah, it's mainly because of the inspiration that I get from liaising and always interacting with Professor.
So,
and I thought perhaps I shouldn't just keep him to myself. I shouldn't just be selfish. I should share him with the Power listeners so that they could also learn one or two things from him. But I'm sure that they'll be extremely inspired by him. And to a large extent, you know, when you are disabled, there are so many difficulties that you encounter.
Mm.
And they will need someone like him, you know, to advise on how to deal with all the psychological issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Professor Rata Imani, good evening to you. How are you, Prof?
Thank you.
Are you
and
good?
Good evening to the listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much for making time. Thank you, sir. We really appreciate the fact that you made time to speak to us. We really appreciate it. As just to break the ice, Prof. I mean,
yes,
how important is dealing with the issue, the psychological effects of people with a disability, particularly people like Brasol, who became disabled when they least expected that something of that sort could happen to them?
I think that's a very important question. And Saul himself is a good example of what we're just going to say now. When you have a serious physical problem that leads to some degree of disability, like he was disabled by his illness, you start asking yourself questions
about whether you're going to live, what people think about you. Sometimes you think you're hopeless, you're useless, and no one cares about you.
Mm.
You lose interest in life. You lose, you know, the basic faith to keep going on in life. And sometimes you therefore can become depressed. But this Tao explains the relationship between the mind and the body.
Mm.
What happens to the body affects how the mind works. And the other way around, people who have serious mental illnesses can also have serious physical problems. You may not be aware of that, but there is a strong relationship there. For instance, you take a person who, like Saul, had a serious disability that he's recovered from, the illness of Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralyzed almost up to the neck and spending 2 years in rehab.
Mm.
And family wonders whether he'll come out of that. And step by step, he did so. But he did that because there was a support system of the nurses, a physiotherapist, and other patients in the surroundings. And of course, his family, his wife, and some of us who visited him regularly. That did one important thing for him. It took him out of depression.
Mm.
Because he was severely depressed at some stage. But when he recognized the flow of support from people who loved him, who've known him, who know what he's capable of, he became stronger. He started taking more interest in his exercises, making sure that every day he can walk 2-3 more steps and so on, until he could start walking actually and driving a car and being able to be on your show.
Yeah. So, but you know, am I hearing you to be saying that support from friends and family and colleagues and the church and everywhere plays a much, much bigger role?
It is very, very important. A number of times when I visited Saul at home now, when he was out of hospital, there are friends from all over who came at different times from Limpopo, and would say, this person, I've known him for such a long time in this context, but he's here. And some of the people were from the religious, you know, background. But I found that your close family, like his mother and other relatives, are very, very important. And friends add to the support system. But you have to have faith in humanity, have faith that you can actually do better, you can recover. If you lose that faith, it doesn't matter how much support other people give you. You have to have the energy, the eagerness to continue living.
Yeah.
And you sort of overcome a number of difficulties. And I think Saul was a good demonstration of that.
Absolutely. I mean, Saul has had so much support that even his cat supported him through.
Yes, I think so. You know, I mean, there are a number of support systems. I've not mentioned his children, for instance.
Yeah.
I used to come there, see how they hang around him.
Yeah.
The sort of questions they ask him, how he interacted with them, and so on. So you realize there's no small person or a small amount of support. Every little bit counts, you know?
Yeah.
And I know at some stage, when I was still in hospital, I talked to his wife, and I asked her about the kids and so on. She was really concerned that the kids are not sure whether their dad is going to come back or not. So they kept visiting him, and they saw him getting better and better. And, you know, this is critical because when they saw their dad getting better, they also improved in their spirit.
Yeah.
And therefore, their performance at school was not affected.
Absolutely.
And they're keeping well, and they're part of all the activities at school. Because if he had lost hope in living and lost hope in the support that we gave him, that would affect his whole family.
Absolutely.
So the totality of the support that we gave him also strengthened his family.
Absolutely. So, Brasol, you must be lucky. Yeah. Like I said, I mean, I visited you at your house. Even your cat was very supportive of you. You know, it didn't demand a lot of things. And it stayed with you whenever you know.
No, in fact, there was this incident when Tsepo asked our 9-year-old daughter that what kind of a husband she wanted.
Yeah.
And then she said, "Mom, I want my husband to be like that, but he shouldn't be sick."
Yeah, yeah.
And the boy was very upset. We said, "How can you say that?" Then she said, "No, Dad wasn't helping Mom with us." And then Chiama said, "No, but now he's helping." Then Lily said, "Yeah, I mean now, but then he wasn't able to to help, you know."
Yeah, yeah, and yeah.
There is that, but the reason why I was also saying we need to invite Prof. Is that we have lost, I think I count up to 8 former patients that I was with who were discharged between June of 2017 and February of last year.
Yeah.
Simply because, you know, when you are at the rehab, you are with other patients. They serve as your support mechanism. But the minute you are discharged, you find that you are on your own and the outside world is extremely hostile. And as a result, we have seen most of our patients are relapsing and some become depressed, as Prop was saying, and they end up losing their lives. And we have also formed a WhatsApp group amongst ourselves, those of us who were at the Tshwane Rehabilitation Hospital. And almost every day we encourage each other to battle on, you know, to survive, to reclaim our lives, to say that despite all these challenges that you are facing, we should be able to survive. And indeed, we encourage each other to go on. But Prof will talk about various forms of depression and mental illnesses that even non-disabled people are facing.
Prof, Saul also invited you to talk to us about something very important, which is mental disability. First and foremost, what are we talking about here?
You know, I don't often use the phrase mental disability, but I think it's important in this context, no? Because it brings up the fact that you cannot only be disabled by physical, you know, problems like an accident or head injury or the type of illness that Saul recovered from. But if you are no longer able to function or execute your day-to-day functions because of mental illness, say, for instance, severe depression or other illnesses that are even worse than that, when you're hearing voices, you're out of touch with reality, what we call psychosis, you could also have, it could also be seen or be thought of as being disabled because you're not able to do what you normally do or what other so-called normal people do on a daily basis. So these illnesses, which we talk about, like schizophrenia, like bipolar mood disorder or severe depression, can be very disabling because, first of all, you start stigmatizing yourself, meaning that you start thinking that the outside world thinks of you as, you know, a person who cannot function, who cannot fit into society. You think people don't like you, you become afraid of mixing with people, and you may withdraw from society and get more and more depressed because of those illnesses. And all of them can have a component of depression. But one of the other key issues is that when you are depressed or having any of these serious mental illnesses, other bodily functions suffer. For instance, you can develop diabetes, you can have worsening of your hypertension, if you're hypertensive, or you can develop hypertension because of severe depression or any other stressful mental illnesses, because you are disabled mentally. You are not able to attend to your daily functions. So there is that correlation between the mind and the body. To the extent that today our approach is that if you are assessing anyone for mental illness, also assess them for physical disability, because they could be disabled by hypertension, they can be disabled by diabetes, they can be disabled by cancer. It's very important to know that many people with cancer sometimes give up, not because of the cancer itself, but because of the associated depression, which tends to take over the physical changes that a person goes through, so that their compliance with medication is poor. They don't take instructions properly, they don't eat properly, and so on, because they're already looking at the end stage that they will be dead, you know. They're not looking at the possibility of recovery and surviving a little longer, and so on.
Yeah.
So depression can then push you faster to the end stage. And so the diabetes or hypertension or cancer itself may not be the primary source. It could be the primary source, but it may not be the actual cause of that, but it can be made worse by the Western depression. So when we therefore try to help you, to encourage you to be more able in terms of doing your day-to-day functions, we want to address both your mind, your mental state, and also your physical state. So that correlation is very, very important.
Yeah. And exercising as well, I suppose, plays a huge role, like you've said, you know.
There are a number of issues that come in there in terms of self-care. For instance, you know, exercise, regular exercise, but also your dietary habits, eating well, eating a balanced meal, but not overeating. I remember cautioning Saul about overeating, and and I think he still overeats now. I hope he can stop. But he's still exercising, which is a very important issue.
Yeah.
The other thing is really some people meditate. Some people bring in support from the faith-based groups, religious community, and so on. Some people believe in prayer. They go to church or various gatherings where they can get support, you know. You want to be engaged in things that make you happy, things that make you take your mind away from what is the illness. You don't want the illness to define you. You know, for instance, what made Saul get stronger, he realized that he had to do other things. For instance, he's completed writing a book, and that activity was unbelievable from a person who some people did not give a chance of recovery. But he made sure that he puts the energy elsewhere. He does not put it into worrying about the illness and the possibility of dying, because death is a reality, and many people are afraid to die. I guess all of us, maybe. But you don't want that to be the defining moment for you. You don't want to think about death all the time. You want to think about what you can do here and now, you know.
Yeah.
And I think he channeled his energy there, but by so doing, he became stronger in other areas, and he recovered very, very well.
Yeah, here's the big problem, Prof, and I'm happy to be wrong as well. I think particularly as a black society, we undermine the damage and the role that mental illness comes with. It's something that we refuse to take time to learn and understand by and large, don't we?
I think that is true. And you see, this is important because we talk about internal and external stigma. The internal stigma being what you think of yourself and what you think society thinks of you. Suddenly when you think you're a nobody and people don't care for you, you are stigmatizing yourself, so you are labeling yourself negatively. But there's also a reality that some people out there, you know, that in our community people would talk about, you know, that bad one, that crazy person, and so on and so on. And they say these things loudly to irritate you, or sometimes not being aware that they're going to irritate you and make you feel horrible. You know, you don't want to be labeled negatively by others. So this stigma, the negative self-evaluation, it can be your own self-evaluation is negative, but it can also be through other people in society. You don't understand that mental illness is a reality. It's as real as physical problems such as head injury or hypertension or diabetes or cancer. You know, these are realities, you know, that one has to deal with. But they have to be dealt with equally. That is, mental and physical issues have to be seen as realities that society has to deal with. And we have to be sympathetic and supportive to people who have either physical disability or mental disability of whatever origin. And when people don't want to accept that reality, they end up, you know, denying the fact that there are possible cures. For instance, we can today, by and large, to a great extent, treat depression effectively with a combination of medication and psychotherapy. Mm. Yes, there are people who have what you call treatment-resistant depression, which are really, whatever you do, you still find that it's there, but people are able to cope. Now, people have to know that many of these mental illnesses can either be managed and people can be functional, although there are some that sometimes tend to progress, you know, and people get worse. But still, that person is a member of a family, needs support from the family and needs support from society. So those people need to be appreciated as human beings and be given support until, you know, whatever nature takes its own course.
Absolutely.
So that is for mental illness, that's for physical disability. So all these disabilities, mental and physical, should be given equal support.
Good stuff. Saul, we've got 2 minutes left. Just what is your parting shot? And thank you, by the way, for bringing in Professor Ratayamani. And hopefully next month or any other month, as we continue to do this, you'll bring him directly in the studio, because I want to give people an opportunity to interact with him. But for now, let's just wrap it up at this point, Saul.
Okay, now let me thank Prof for coming in. My parting shot is that, because Prof has also spoken about the role of religion in revitalizing us, in giving us hope. But today in our WhatsApp group, we're saying that sometimes we feel so uncomfortable when we go to churches, and when you get there, the perception you get is that the priest thinks you are coming for a miracle.
Mm.
And suddenly they crowd you, they pray for you, and the whole attention is on you. And we are now saying to people, if I'm using crutches or I'm on a wheelchair, I'm just coming to church to pray.
Mm.
I don't need any special favors, so that ultimately you all concentrate on me as if I come to church with the hope that I'll be able to walk when I get out of that church.
Mm.
So I would say religious people should stop doing that, because they make us uncomfortable. But thanks to Prof and thanks to our supporters, and indeed, next month we will introduce another disabled person who will share their stories with us.
Absolutely. As per the norm, what is your contact? You know, people that are hearing this kind of a conversation for the first time, Saul, that might want to advance, you know, this further.
Okay, I'm on Facebook as Saul Khumotso Mulubi. Also as Brand Africa Foundation NPC, and we are also we have a website www.brandafrica.com, and we also have a number 011-483-1019.
Yeah, the Mulubi is Mulobi, because it's MOLO, but you know,
yes.
You make it sound like it's a U there, but I get you.
Yeah, it's an O, Mulubi, not Mulubi.
Yeah, but as if okay. It when they look at for it, it's Mulobi, right? M-O-L-O-B.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you, sir.
Thank
you
so much.
There you go. Very interesting thread there that we had with Rasol and Professor Ratayamani.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.